Last night, we celebrated the Passover, the Last Supper, the last moments before Jesus was led to his prison, then to the cross, then to the grave. And it feels like at that moment it was so beautiful, so joyful, so intimate. But actually, we haven't lost that. We still have the same intimacy. We still have the same idea. So the upper room to which they celebrated the Last Supper, the last moment before Jesus was led to his death, carries forward into today too. We are still in the upper room. We are still listening to Jesus. We are still wondering about what's going on, learning lessons from the events that have occurred that can now lead us as we follow Jesus to his passion, death, and resurrection. So what are the lessons for today? Our first lesson comes strongly from the letter to the Hebrews, and that is obedience and discipline, the two things most people abhor to no end. In the letter to the Hebrews, the author makes one point abundantly clear. As Jesus walks through his death, to the resurrection, it's a strong form of obedience. He's doing exactly what the Father wants of him, the one thing that will lead to the salvation for all of us. And if you noticed, in contrast to Palm Sunday, today's passion narrative from John's Gospel is not one of sadness. It's one of great triumph. Jesus triumphantly walks to the cross going, "Here I am. This is who I am. Take it or leave it. I am going to die for all of you, just so you know. And this will be the moment of great joy." And the last words he said is, "It is finished," or "It is completed. I have done my task, and now I can die." That's shocking to us. That level of obedience he showed shows us that he cared so much about the Father's will, cared so much about us, that the rest of what he experienced really didn't matter. What mattered was our salvation. The other side of the letter to the Hebrews is discipline. Discipline is that recognition that in order for me to really be obedient to the Father, really say I want to do God's will, it takes some dying on my part. I have to recognize that there's desires and things that I want that just won't be fulfilled if I'm really going to follow God's will. If I really want to listen to him, his will must pervade over my own. And Jesus is the prime example of that. He walked through the scourging, through the persecution, with the cross, so that he may show us what it takes to truly follow God's will. Hopefully for us, we don't have to die the same level of martyrdom. There's other ways to do that. But regardless, he shows us the way. The second one, suffering. We cannot really talk about Good Friday without talking about some level of suffering. And the image that I want to leave you with to really grasp the concept of suffering that comes out of the Good Friday liturgy is the image of the burned Notre Dame in France. As the rafters fell and the light shone forth, what did we see prominent? The cross. The cross glowed with a glow that was uncharacteristic of churches at that time in many ways, because now the light can shine through in a bold and profound way. So that as we look at the cross, an instrument of torture, an instrument of death, the thing that Jesus died on, that's kind of gruesome in some ways, it glows with a new light because of what Jesus has shown us. And that light reminds us that in the midst of our own sufferings, whatever we experience, the ills, the problems of life, what we dislike, there's always hope at the end of the road. The cross did not lead to its own end. The cross led to resurrection. The cross led to new life. Just like in Adam and Eve, when we had the tree of life, where Adam and Eve took the fruit and ate it of their own accord and now became a symbol of death, now the symbol of death as a cross becomes a symbol of life. Everything has been reversed. That means as we walk through this life and we experience suffering, pain, ills, agony, whatever it might be, that is not the end either. Our lives are not to end in suffering. Our lives are to begin with new life that only comes through when we die to ourselves. And that's the great mystery of the cross which we celebrate today. The great mystery as we journey, become part of the offering of Jesus, become part of his journey as well, that we may go to new life. The last one comes from one line at the very end of the gospel, one that we might not even notice. And it's the line that says, "I thirst." A beautiful line that if we take it at its core value, it means Jesus is thirsty. If we take it a little further than that, it's not just Jesus is thirsty as though his throat is parched and that he wants some water to drink. His true thirst is not here. His true thirst is for us. He desires us more than anything else so that he'd be willing to submit himself to the scourges of the Romans, submit himself to the pains of the cross, submit himself to death, that we may be saved. I thirst for the salvation of souls, is the words from St. Faustina's reflection on the the death of Jesus. I thirst for you. Jesus wants you. He wants you to follow him, that you may be saved. He wants to know you to know that he brought salvation. He wants you to know that he's waiting for you. Take up your cross and follow me. Let me be your guide. You do not have to experience it on your own. This is my journey with you, that you may be saved. He wants you more than anything else. What does this mean for us? Good Friday is a liturgy. The recognition of what we experience today carries on into our life. Suffering, obedience, discipline, and Jesus' deep desire for each of us. How do we cultivate these in our lives? How do we reflect on them so we recognize the great depth Jesus went through for each and every one of us? Allow ourselves the freedom to follow God more fully, to say, okay, this isn't so bad. God is here with me. I can take up my cross. I can endure the things of life. I can go forward with the hope and the knowledge that God is here with me every step of the way.